And I want to start off by asking a question. Do you love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Do you not just the salvation that's found in Jesus, and not the joy that comes from knowing Jesus, and not even the fellowship of believers when we can all rally around Jesus and the fact that he is our Lord, but do you love Jesus? Do you love the person of Jesus Christ? Do you know the person of Christ? Do you know him through his word and through personal revelation and experience in your life? And this is something that I've been praying in my life. God, would you just help me to love Jesus more? And I really hope that at the end of the next 25 minutes or so, that we can walk away with the same prayer. God, help me to love Jesus more. Do we really love Jesus? I think this is something that we just really need to work out in our hearts and in our lives. Do we really love Jesus? Let's read Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 7 and we'll read through verse 11. This is Paul talking. Very briefly before I read, Paul is writing this letter to the church in Philippi, who he has a very special relationship with. And they had sent a gift to him, a financial gift, with one of their members of their church. And he had gotten sick when he was with Paul. And finally, when he was able to return to the Philippians, Paul sent this letter back with the bearer of the gift. And Paul, at this point of his life, is in chains. And he's under house arrest and most likely chained to a guard, a Roman soldier. I can't imagine what it would be like to be the soldier who was chained to Paul. Man, can't get this guy to stop talking about that Jesus dude. So this is what he says, okay? In the context of being chained and writing to the church of Philippi, and he says this. He says, "But whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may be able to attain the resurrection from the dead." So let's just walk through this passage and just go through it verse by verse slowly and see what the Lord can speak to us through it today. Verse 7, he's talking about whatever gain he had, he counts as loss for the sake of Christ. Well, if you were to back up a couple verses, Paul is talking about the achievements that he had and the confidence that he could have had in his own flesh and in his own good works. And he says this, "If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, as to passion, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." Paul was your stand-up citizen, your stand-up, upright Christian, your passionate, not a Christian, it would be Jew, your passionate Jew who, this is the guy who, when Stephen was being stoned, In the beginning of Acts, Stephen is being stoned by the Jews because they think that he is blaspheming God. Paul's over there saying, "Okay, I bet if you let me hold your coat, you could throw that stone a little bit harder." You know, he's leading these riots. He's leading this persecution of the church. And then on the road, Jesus appears to Paul, and Paul, or Saul at the time, and he's blinded. And Jesus says, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he comes to faith in the Lord Jesus, and he confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart that God has raised him from the dead and he was saved. And Now he's writing to the Philippians, and he's lost all confidence that he once had in his actions because he knows that they are not going to make a difference before God in the end. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. We can know Christ. We can know Christ. I think this is, sometimes we're tempted to, I'm tempted to read, just read past this, but I just want to stop on this. We can know Christ. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Skip down to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came to the earth, and now we can know God. We can know Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. The language here is the whole gain, loss, and worth language is kind of, we're kind of familiar to that in the business sort of context, right? And if you make if you own a business or you're part of a business and that business makes more money than it spends, then we count that gain, right? And if the business doesn't make as much money as its expenses, then it would be taking a loss. And Paul says, whatever gain I had, whatever before I counted as pushing me towards God, as whatever was superseding the expenses of life, I thought I was covering up with these good deeds and this passion and living righteously under the law. Now that's loss, and it's almost a reverse mentality of what he had before, because before he was saying, these things are pushing me to God, and now he's saying these things, they're not just neutral, but they're loss. They're pulling me away from God because of the temptation to rely on these righteous deeds. But he says that in light of something even more valuable. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. And sometimes I think we take knowing Christ for granted. And sometimes I think we wake up in the morning and we can go through an entire day without thinking about, I know Christ. I know Christ. I have a relationship with this God who made the world. I can know Christ. For his sake, back in verse 8, for his sake I have suffered the loss of all things. So not only does he count everything loss, he loses it, he suffers the loss of all things, and he counts them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And the word for rubbish there is the word for dung, like manure. And it's not just, okay, they're lost, they're over. He says, I counted them as loss and count them as rubbish. I suffered the loss of them and count them as rubbish. Because nothing else matters to Paul but gaining Christ. Because of the surpassing worth that is found in knowing Christ. Hebrews chapter 12. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And the author says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I want to ask you this morning, is there anything that is standing in between you and Christ? Is there anything that you're ascribing value to that is standing in between you and our Lord Jesus Christ? What is keeping you from loving him more? What is consuming your time that you just decide not to give him that special time in the day? What is in between you and Christ that needs to go? Because what's going on with that situation is there needs to be a reality check. Because whatever it is, it's not as important as knowing Christ, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. And whatever it is, in light of that situation, needs to be considered rubbish. And sometimes there are good things in life that can get in the way of putting Christ first. There can be really good things that can get in the way. Like, I think of family. Family is a really good thing, right? Family is core, and it is so important. And from infancy, we are raised to believe, and to rightly believe, that family comes before friends, right? Family first. Family first is a refrain that I heard growing up quite a bit, you know? Well, Mom and Dad, I want to go off and hang out with my friends. Well, we haven't had time as a family in a really long time where we just really need to get that done. Family first. But when it comes to God, family can't come first. Jesus said, if you don't hate your mother and your father, your brother and your sister, you can't follow me. And that's not literally saying hate, but in light of how much you love Christ, there needs to be such a difference of I'm putting Christ in this position of surpassing worth. And nothing else compares to knowing Christ. Another thing that can get in the way is ministry. And if you volunteer in your church or volunteer at any other function where you're serving somebody and it takes time out of your day and you care about it and you're passionate about it, this one applies for me as I'm going into missions for sure. And ministry is a really good thing, and we give money to the church, and the church runs these ministries, and we have the children's ministry and the Sunday school, and some churches work with the homeless population or the poor population, and some people reach out to unreached parts of the city that they're in, and these are really great things, these ministry that we're doing, and we're on the ground working for Christ. But if those things get in the way of you and Christ, if that becomes the all-consuming part of your life, then what good is it? And in light of knowing Christ, even ministry, even family needs to be considered rubbish, because there should be such a worth and a value placed on knowing Christ. And that's not always true for me. And I pray, God, help me to love Jesus more. How can I put him at the most important part of my life and at the center of my being? Paul would rather lose everything than be found outside of Christ. And if you think about for a moment the different things that Paul had been through in his life, Paul was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. Paul was imprisoned. He was ridiculed. There were riots because of what Paul said, with mobs of people coming up and anger over what he was doing and proclaiming Christ. And Paul, from what we know, after he started going on his journeys, he didn't have a home. He didn't go back to his house every night. He didn't have a church that he went to every Sunday and a community of people all the time, certainly not while he was in chains. Paul would rather lose everything than be found outside of Christ. And Paul's love for Jesus is such a shining star that we can aspire to. If we look back, just flip the page, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, That means fruitful labor for me. That means I'm going to see people come to the Lord, and I'm going to see lives changed. Fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two, for my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have an ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. And Paul's debating, I don't want to be here. I want to be with Christ. I want to be with Jesus, because being with Jesus is so much better and it's so much sweeter. We live in a broken world, and we're such broken people, aren't we? I'm such a broken person, and how I long to be with Christ and to be with Jesus and have all this world, the old pass away and the new come up and no more tears, and I'm just ready for that to come. Maybe you guys have had this experience. Maybe when I was younger, I used to always say, Jesus, I want you to come back, but first I want to get married. But first, I want to get my driver's license. You fill in the blank. But first, I want to go to Australia. But first, like, I don't know, whatever that is, you know? Jesus, I want you to come back, but could you wait just a little bit more? Could you hold off just a little bit longer, because there's something that I'd really like to have this experience, or I'd really like to. You fill in the blank. What is it for you? Maybe you've had that experience, maybe not. Maybe I'm the only one in the oddball in the room right now. I don't know. But how skewed up is that vision? How messed up is that thought of Jesus, just wait just a little bit longer, and maybe after a while, then you can come back, and then I can be satisfied with you. But that's so wrong. That's so messed up in my thinking, and I don't know even how I thought that way. And it's such a grace of God to come to the point where you can say, God, come right now. Okay, come now. Okay, now. You know, and to be able to say what Paul's saying, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, it means fruitful labor, which I choose, I cannot tell. He's almost wrestling in himself. I'd rather be dead. I'd rather be with Christ, because to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And how much better is it to be in the presence of the Lord than it is to be in our broken bodies? Surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. I think of a couple of examples of people in the Bible who didn't hold Jesus in this position of surpassing worth, and who wouldn't rather lose everything than be found outside of Christ. And one of those that come to mind are the rich young ruler. And Jesus, the rich young ruler, comes to Jesus and says, you know, what must I do to be saved? I just want to make sure here. He says, I followed the law to the letter. And Jesus says, well, what about loving God and loving your neighbors? Yeah, God, I got that. And Jesus said, okay, good. Now go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. This didn't strike him quite right. And he didn't want to he was a rich young ruler. You think of a person in their youth, in the prime of their youth, with financial status and power. He was a ruler, the Bible says, and he was in this position where he had it pretty good here on the earth. And sometimes I think maybe we have it a little bit too good if there is anything that's coming in between us and Christ. Jesus said it's harder for a rich person to go, a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than a rich person to come into the kingdom of God. How sobering is that? What's standing in between you and the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Guys, we have to count this higher than anything else. Another person who comes to mind is actually a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. And they go and they sell their field because that's what all the Christians in that day were doing. And most people were selling their possessions and selling their land. They had a little bit too much. And they just said, well, we're just going to sell it and give the money to the poor. Because it doesn't matter to have this stuff anymore. Because the kingdom of God is all around us and it's advancing. And they come before the disciples and they say, here's all the money from the field. And you say, is this everything? Yeah, this is it. We want to help the church, right? Wink, wink. And they fall dead on the floor. And they weren't in the same mindset that Paul was, and they weren't on the same page. Father, help us love Jesus more. Lord, just put us in a relationship with Jesus that all these things pass away and we can see what is most important. The Bible says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your heart? I don't care where your treasure is. Where's your heart? Where are you putting things of value at? For his sake, verse 8, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, which is the only real righteousness, isn't it? The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And if we stopped there and be an amen, hallelujah, and have a good rest of the day. It's so tempting just to stop there. But there's something more. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain resurrection from the dead. How many of us really want to share in the sufferings of Christ? Not sufferings where people may not look at you funny when you come out of the church, or not necessarily only social sufferings. I was listening to another pastor preach. I was listening online to a sermon recently, and he said, could you imagine sharing in the sufferings of Christ? Could you imagine if you were there and you were being beaten while Christ was being beaten? And the whip was coming down on your back just as the whip was coming down on his back. And you looked over at Jesus. And he looks at you and he would say, today we'll be together in paradise. And the fellowship with Jesus, when nothing else takes his place in your life, the being willing, I'm not saying go out and seek out opportunities to be tortured or martyred. That's not what I'm saying. But how many of us in our hearts can say, I want to know Jesus and the power of his sufferings, and I want to share in that. And I think in the church, we've failed at telling people the whole story about following Christ. Because following Jesus is not easy. It's not a walk in the park. And staying pure from sin is one of the hardest things that we may ever do. And following Christ and the things that he may ask us to do and the people he may ask us to reach out towards or forgive and the pain that he may ask us to go through, be it emotional, physical, For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice. Insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Suffering not, the suffering that criminals go through when they were beaten and hung upon a cross was a shameful suffering. And the thieves that were crucified with Jesus went through a shameful experience, a shameful suffering. Rightly so. That's how justice works. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God. We're so prone as an American culture, and I think as a human race, to love comfort. It's just so embedded in us somehow. We just love being comfortable. Naturally, of course we love being comfortable. We love, you know, on a rainy day in a nice hot bowl of soup by a fire, or maybe it's a sunny day and you get to go on vacation, you're out by a lake on a boat and the birds are singing, and it's just a really comfortable experience, and you feel good. And God graces us with those moments. And he graces us with uncomfortable moments, moments of suffering. And we just have to be really careful. Again, I'm not saying go out and search for suffering opportunities, but we have to be really careful not to hide that part of the Christian walk from ourselves. I heard another pastor tell a story, and it was about a man who was in his last years as an elderly gentleman, had children and grandchildren, and was just about at that age to go into the nursing home. And he said, I don't want to do that. So he went to what he used his savings and what retirement he had and went to Europe to learn Arabic. And learned Arabic for a year in Europe, and then traveled to the Middle East, and then journeyed around strengthening what he could of the underground church in a closed country. Just got to a point where he says, I don't really have much left in me anymore. And so he goes out to the market square and preaches the gospel and gets stoned and is with Jesus. What a way to go, you know? What a way to go. If we can hold that knowledge of Jesus as a surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, it not only applies to our lives, but how can we hold that in from our community and our neighbors and those around us? If we really, really value our relationship with Jesus, if that's really the most important thing, if we really see that in the light of what it really is, how can we hold in what Jesus has done for our lives? It just doesn't make sense to me. I struggle with it all the time. And I pray as Peter prayed in the New Testament church, Lord, give me boldness. Let me be bold, because it's really uncomfortable. This is just a confession. It's really uncomfortable for me to share my faith with somebody. And that saddens me, and I get in that moment where I can bring something up and talk about it, and I just get all squeamish inside. And we need to be bold, because there's a dying world, And there's not much time for a lot of people. I'm going to end with this. We're just going to continue down into verse 12 and verse 13. Verse 14, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And I just want to kind of put a parenthesis in and say, I'm not all the way there yet, and neither was Paul. And so what I don't want you to walk away from here is a sense of hopelessness in saying, well, you know, that's good for your friend out in the Middle East or your friend out, you know, the story you told of that guy who went and preached in the market, that's good for them, but I'm just not there. And that's okay. I'm not there either, and I want to be so badly, and I don't know how to get there except just to continue in prayer and say, God, will you make this true? Because in my life, I am having conflicting desires. God, will you just help me to love Jesus more? But one thing I do, I'm getting ahead of myself. I've not already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And I want to wrap this up pretty quickly, but jot down if you can John chapter 10, verses 2 to 4, and go back and Jesus is talking about how he makes us his own, how he's the shepherd. Verse 13 of Philippians chapter 3, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. And I do want to say this. We make a lot of mistakes. We make a lot of mistakes. And some of them aren't easy to forget. And sometimes we have the tendency to say, I can't love Jesus or Jesus can't love me because of these mistakes that I've made. And I want to encourage you to forget what's behind and strain toward what's ahead. Don't focus in on, you know, maybe you strayed from the Lord and you've just recently come back. Maybe you've done a really terrible job of just seeking out the Lord and his word. Maybe you haven't prayed in a month. You know what? Just forget about it and just strain towards what's ahead. Just move forward, press on, persevere as a church here in Portage, Wisconsin. Persevere and press on towards the goal to win the prize. Let Jesus be the most important thing. The knowing Christ surpass in its worth all other aspects of your life.